God's Word for our consideration this morning. God's Word to lead us. God's Word to nourish us. God's Word to strengthen us is from the epistle lesson, from the epistle of the Apostle Paul, writing to the church, the Christians in Rome, but also writing to us in the fifth chapter. And here Paul writes, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So far, God's word for our conversation, our consideration, for our uplifting, for our encouragement, for our nourishment today. I want you to think about that word, love. I want you to think about the connotations of that word and how we use that word in our lives. When we use that word to express our affection for another person. The year was 1989. And I went with my parents to one class of, at this time they had I Can Cope classes that revolved around coping with cancer. My dad had lung cancer. And so they put the patients in one circle, the patients, the people who had cancer. And in the other circle, they put those lovers, those people who were caregiving. And my mother and I sat next to each other. They passed a piece of paper around to us and they put one word or a phrase down that you would like to change. And so we went around the circle expressing that word or phrase, and it came to me. And I said, "You know, I wish we could change this in our family. That every time we left one another, that we would say, I love you." My mom looked at me and she said, "You know, you're right. We never say that. We always say, you know, we love you, we care for you, and all of that." Fast forward, and I was sitting across a realtor that we had, and she was talking to her husband, kind of muffled kind of voice, and everything that you know, you want to be private, but yet you're in a public place. And at the end of the conversation, she said, "Yes, me too." Without looking up, I said, "Lori, just say you love it. Because you never know what's going to happen." Love is something that we have trouble speaking. Love is something we have trouble even describing. Maybe it was described by this mother and daughter who were having a conversation about the mother's hands. The mother's hands were scarred and crippled and wouldn't get any better. And her daughter, who had grown in years, started the conversation, "Mom, why your hands? Why are your hands scarred and not smooth like other mothers?" Mother said, "Well, you know, when you were a baby and you were sleeping in your crib, we had a fire. We had a fire in the house, and I raced in to grab you. The flames were all around your crib, so I reached in and grabbed you and put a blanket on you and rushed out of the house. But the flames had gotten to my hands. That's why they scarred." Such love a mother had for her child. Love is something that we can't describe. Love is all around us. And love comes from a gracious and wonderful God because he interjects his presence and his love into our hearts and lives, even when we think this world is hopeless. even when we think life seems to be hopeless, because it's a word that we hear. It's a word that beats us down time and time and time again. And I was just reading at one of the websites, and a sports columnist who I read most every day, he had this title: Twins season looks hopeless. Next season might even be canceled. Maybe we should look to 2028. Maybe then be hopeful. That seems to be the phrase that we use all the time: hopeless. We put a glass of water up there, and it's half filled. I spoiled it and all. How are we going to see that glass of water? We're going to see it half empty, or are we going to see it half full? Many times in our lives, many times we see that water half empty. We've gone through so many trials. We've gone through so many pressures and stresses and strains. Boy, I sure wish this year was over, right? First, a broken foot. Then, an infected finger. And then, something happened to my beloved. Hospitalizations. Hospitals, nursing homes. They're not nursing homes. Nurses coming in and out, and if you moved one, they were there. I just wish this year was over, but not really, because God shows his hope and love in Christ. That's where we have our hope. That's where we have our life. That's where we have our love, because Christ lived, suffered, and died for us, and rose again to give us everlasting life and the forgiveness of sins. God forgave our little insurrections, our little bumps, our bruises, for Jesus Christ. And the glory that he gives to Jesus, to us. You know, this is tremendous, that God comes into our lives. He interjects himself. And he says, listen to my word. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died and rose again to give us everlasting life and the forgiveness of sins. He took every sin on his shoulders. The sin of pride, jealousy, greed, we can name them all. Christ died for them. And then he rose again. He rose again to illustrate how powerful he was and is, and how powerful God our Father is, who raises from the dead, who will give us everlasting life and forgiveness of sins. Have you ever wondered when Christ will come again? And he tells us, we don't know. He doesn't even know when he's going to come again. But yet we need to be prepared. God interjects his love into our hearts to sustain us during that time. The devil knows how to work. The devil knows how to work really hard. Or easy. Should I say easy? A little argument happens between husband and wife. And the devil comes in and he opens it wider. And not just between husband and wife, but between children and parents. Satan loves to get in there and push that door wider and wider and wider so he can just walk right in. he does. He walks right in. And he points an accusing finger at us because we have committed sin. We have committed, as Paul says in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, I did especially the thing that I wish I could not do. And it's because of sin. It's because of the devil. He comes in and he opens it up so wide so we can just walk in. And that's the sin that Jesus died for. Jesus died for our sins and closed that door so Satan couldn't come, but that Jesus could in his word of everlasting truth, in the Holy Scriptures, in the forgiveness that we receive at the altar rail. Jesus comes into our life. And he gives us joy. He gives us strength. He gives us encouragement. He gives us knowledge. And he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. In the 12th chapter of his first letter to the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that power of the Holy Spirit is in you, bringing you to his church, enabling you to hear his gracious word, and empowering you to speak the confession that you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You see, you're saved by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by your power or strength. God gives you that power. God gives you that strength. And as we examine these lives that we have, we think a lot of it's certain, but maybe not. We say, nothing is certain in life except death and taxes. Death we know is going to come to each and every one of us. We know that. We know that this mortal body is going to die one day. And yet, God says that he's going to raise it. He's going to raise it someday at the end times. And we're going to join the soul and body, and we're going to be without blemish. But we're not going to be without hope, because that's what God gives to us in Jesus Christ. And Paul writes, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for each and every one of us. We know that we're not going to get that nice, big, huge check that comes in the mail from publishing house, the clearing house that they've had these sweepstakes in. We know that. We do know by faith that God is going to give us everlasting life in Jesus Christ. And that's the glory that we have. That's the good news that we have. That's the good news that we live with each and every day of our lives, so that we know by that faith, that we walk by that faith, not by sight, and that we know that we can praise God for everything that he has given to us. In Christ's holy name.